Ahead and start the regular city council meeting of September 22nd, 2020. Please call roll.
Rab?
Here.
Potashnik?
Here.
Johnston?
Here.
Bronson?
Here.
Mallory?
Here.
Temple?
Here.
Kuchar?
Here.
All right, and if you have an announcement to make, Bridget?
Yes, I do. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the regular city council meeting. This is Clerk Treasurer Bridget Brown, and before we begin tonight, I will take a brief moment and explain the meeting process. There will be five opportunities for public participants to address council tonight, once during general comments and once during each public hearing. When we reach these portions of the agenda, I will go through our list of participants one by one. I will address each of you by the last four digits of the telephone number you're calling in from or your screen name. At that time, I will send you a request to unmute your microphone and give you a chance to address council. Please follow the symptom prompts to unmute yourself. I am no longer able to unmute participants. If you have no public comments, simply respond with pass. If you do not respond within 30 seconds, I will automatically move on to the next participant. If you would like to address council, please begin by introducing yourself by first and last name. And the last item I want to address before we begin tonight are the staff members and consultants joining us via teleconference. We have City Manager Tom Eustace, Chief of Police Kurt Jones, and City Attorney Stephen Lindsay.
All right, thank you, Bridget. As Bridget said, tonight we have four public hearings. Before I open the regular public comments, we will give time before each of the public hearing subjects for comments on that. So if you want to talk about something that's in the public hearing, please wait until that time. Otherwise, Bridget, go ahead and open public comments.
Okay, and we'll go ahead and get started with RJ Archambeau.
Pass, thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have Scott with the Chamber.
Well, sorry about that, Bridget. My microphone cut out. I don't have anything at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. And up next, we have Sherry Nelson.
Pass, thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have Zach Mastin.
I will hold my questions for later. Thanks, Bridget.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 0409.
This is John Stripmatter. No comment at this time. Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 0440.
Yes, it's Matt LaHaye. No comments right now.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 1136.
Good evening. This is Trudy Lofgren, and I have some old business that maybe I could get some updates on. Number one, has there been any attempts to get anybody to pull the weeds on the banks of the river? Number two, have we really looked into, I believe it's MDOT, to see that we can or can't for sure get signs for the crosswalks, especially going over to Mulligan's? I know it's been said that normally it's not the rule that you can get signs, but I have heard from other people that it is possible. So I was just wondering if we really got a no from them. And then the number three, the painting or doing something with the bare blocks when you go into City Hall. If anything has been updated for me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Trudy. And up next, we have caller 9536.
Dave Hubbard, and I have two questions. First, I will wait to comment on the proposals, but what is happening on the corner of Lincoln and Main Street?
Thank you, Dave. We'll go through all of public comments and then council will have a chance to respond. Did you have any other questions or comments?
No, thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 3499. Caller 3499, you can unmute yourself by dialing star 6. Okay, and we will go ahead and move on to caller 1021.
Yeah, hello, this is Bob White. I have two questions for you tonight. Can you tell me why there is obvious pressure on the Sheboygan City Council? This has to do with the proposals to vote on the two proposed recreational marijuana ordinances this evening. When in fact the license...
We'll address those during the public hearing.
Okay, I can't address those right now?
No.
Okay, that's fine. That's okay. What everybody's been doing.
Okay, well, I have two questions, and I guess if I can't address them now, then I'll do it later, yeah.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 4103.
Thanks, Bridget. No comment.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 1572.
Good evening, Dan Harris, and I have no comment at this time.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 1739. Caller 1739, if you have any comments for council, you can unmute yourself by dialing star 6.
I pass. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 2004.
Hi, this is Xander Keyswitter. No comment at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 2122.
Yes, this is Bud Darnell. As you know, I'm not a resident of the city, but I'm intensely interested in things going on. I'll talk later. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 2342.
Mary Hebert? Mary Hebert, no comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 3378.
No comment.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 3725. Caller 3725, if you have any comments for council, you can unmute yourself by dialing star 6.
No comment at this time.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 6027.
Pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 7621.
Hi, Bridget. No, thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 7653.
This is Lewis Bounds. You guys know my issues, and do want to ask why is it that we did not do a Pledge of Allegiance as we normally do on these meetings? To me, that's a breach of meeting protocol. Other than that, that's it. I'll be speaking later.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 9103.
Hey, Bridget. I'm going to pass for now. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 9252.
Pass. Thank you.
And Mayor, that was all the public participants we had.
All right. Thank you, Bridget. Tom, I'll let you go ahead and address Trudy's questions on the weeds, the MDOT sign, and the blocks on the front of City Hall.
Okay. We are removing some of the weeds as often as possible. We haven't had any community service people to help us, so we're just doing it with our Parks and Recs department. We're at least trying to get the trees out of there. There's some trees popping up through the rock, and we're cutting those out of there. But it's been very difficult with lack of manpower to completely remove all of those weeds. It's a pretty tall task. I mean, we have done it in the past with about 5 community service people, and even at that, it takes us a couple weeks to get those weeds out of there, and we can't spray any chemicals on it, so we're doing it all by hand. And I know the mayor suggested we get a burner, and I know Scott Hancock, our recreation director, is looking at that possibility to get some type of a burner to burn the weeds, which could be a little bit easier to do. And the signs, Chief Jones and I are here in the council chambers. We will
We'll call MDOT and see if that's a possibility to add a sign. We have signage at the crosswalk at Festival Square. And Mulligans, Chief says there's one at Mulligans. I didn't think there was one there, but we'll call MDOT to see. We have to have MDOT approval for any kind of signs we put up on 27. And they're sometimes reluctant to put pedestrian signs up because vehicular traffic has a right of way. It's very difficult to get that type of signage up. But I'll make contact with Trudy and see where the main issues are and see if we can get some type of pedestrian signage up there. We did send out quotes for painting the front of the Opera House building, City Hall building. Johnson's Home Decorating got the quote. They've been here and power washed the front of the building. And they should be back by this week or early next week to paint those exposed blocks. That should be done within the next couple weeks.
All right, and then the question from Mr. Hubbard on what's going on at Lincoln and Main.
Yes, I reported at the last council meeting that intersection in Lincoln and Main, which has been on their maintenance docket, MDOT's maintenance docket for about 3 years, likely wasn't going to be done until next spring. Also, Mackinac Avenue, we were told that MDOT was not going to resurface Mackinac Avenue from State Street to the Little Black River Bridge, but now they're considering doing it yet this year, so that may happen. But the intersection at Lincoln and Main will be cut out. It looks like they're going to do it a second, and they're going to do it at night. That entire intersection is going to be cut out and recompacted and new blacktop put on it. Reeve Riley's has the job, and they're replacing the sidewalk ramps on the bridge as well right now. So there's some concrete work going on. That entire intersection will be done, and they're going to work from 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. And they think they can do it all in one night. So that'll happen either the 1st or the 2nd of October. And it's something we've been trying to get MDOT to do for, again, several years. And they finally had an opening to do it, so we got it on the docket, both that and Mackinac Avenue.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I did not catch the question from Lewis about something we're supposed to be doing but are not. Did anybody else catch that?
Yes, about the Pledge of Allegiance, why we're not doing a Pledge of Allegiance to start the meeting. And that's, I don't know. I mean, that's something we could do, but because these are virtual meetings, we're not, I'm in front of a flag right now, but most of the participants may not be in front of a flag. So it's hard to do a Pledge of Allegiance if you're not in the room with a flag.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Yeah. All right, we'll move on to approval of agenda and receive and file all communications.
I'll move to approve the agenda and receive and file all communications.
I'll second.
A motion by Councilwoman Johnson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar to approve the agenda and receive and all and file all communications. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say no. Approval of prior meeting minutes, regular city council meeting minutes, September 8th, 2020.
I'll move to approve the regular city council meeting minutes of September 8th, 2020.
Did you just ask to approve the agenda? I got to add something there.
Yes, yeah. We're asking that, right? You already did the agenda.
Mayor, I need to add something to the agenda.
Okay.
Sorry, I missed that when you made that motion.
Do we need to redo the motion and redo that?
Yeah, if we can rescind the motion and then I'll tell you what I need to add.
Okay, I will rescind my motion to approve the agenda.
All right. Motion by Councilman Johnson, motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar to rescind the approval of the agenda. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, say no. All right. Approval of agenda and receive and file all communications.
Okay, Mayor, I need to add, and we'll call it item under 9B, under general business. On March 10th, 2020, at a regular city council meeting, we passed a resolution authorizing a grant application to the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund. In that resolution, we had an amount of $300,000 in matching funds that we got from the Great Lakes Fisheries Trust. We actually got $308,000. So we need to amend that original resolution of March 10, 2020 to correct that amount from $300,000 to $308,000. It's just a request from the DNR Land Trust.
I'll make that motion. We can't do that now. We're doing it. We're adding it on 9B, right?
Yes. That's right, Mayor Pro Tem, 9B.
So now I need a motion to approve the amended agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve that amended agenda.
Second.
All right, motion by Councilman Mallory, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar to approve the agenda with the addition of 9B. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. And now we'll move on to a regular city council meeting minutes. And I have a motion by Councilwoman Johnston. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilwoman Rabb to approve the regular city council meeting minutes of September 8th, 2020 as presented. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say no. All right, we'll move on to the first public hearing. I am going to open up the public hearing for 7A, consideration of a request from Dawn Rio to vacate Canada Street, described as follows. And I'm not going to read all that. And all right. So as described in the agenda, any comments on 7A?
Mayor, this is Tom Eustace. I'd like to make a point of clarification because the legal description is rather lengthy, but this request is to vacate Canada Street, and it's a road that's never been developed, and the street right away that she's requesting to vacate is within her boundaries of her own property. So she's not requesting to vacate any of the street outside of her legal description.
Thank you. And Bridget, do you need to go through the participants?
Yes, I do. Are you ready for me to take public comments?
Yes, please.
Okay. And we'll go ahead and we'll get started with RJ.
Pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have Paul.
I'm good. Thank you.
And up next, we have Scott with the chamber.
Pass, Bridget. Thanks.
Thank you, Scott. And up next, we have Sherry Nelson.
Pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Up next, we have Zach.
Pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 0409.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 0440.
No comment.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 1136.
Trudy Lofgren, pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Trudy. Up next, we have caller 3029.
I'll pass, Bridget. Thank you.
Thank you, Mindy. Up next, we have caller 9536. Caller 9536, if you have any comments for council regarding the public hearing, you can unmute yourself by dialing star 6.
Sorry.
Is it really good about that area?
Not yet. He comes later.
He comes after us.
Caller 9536, did you have any comments? And up next, we have caller 3499. And up next, we have caller.
No comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
No comment.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 1021. And up next, we have caller 2336. And up next, we have caller 4103. And up next, we have caller 1572.
No comment.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 7299.
No comment at this time.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 2004.
No comment at this time.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 3725.
Passed. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 2122.
Passed.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 7299.
I have no comment. Thanks.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 2342. Up next, we have caller 3378.
No comment at this.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 6027.
Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 7621.
Connie Rieger, no comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Up next, we have caller 7653.
No comment on that, but I was wondering if we are going to be merging A and B together because it's the same property owner and for expediting of time of this meeting.
There's separate public hearings, so we have to do them each individually.
Okay.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 9103.
Pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 9252.
No comment. Thank you.
And Mayor, that was all of the public participants we had.
All right. I will close the public hearing on 7A and open it up for comments from council. If there are no comments, I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve. This is Diane.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilwoman Rabb, seconded by Councilwoman Potasnik to approve the request from Don Rio to vacate Canada Street as described. Bridget, will you please call a roll?
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
Potashnik?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
We will move on to 7B, and I will open up the public hearing for this consideration of a request from Don Rio to vacate a 20-foot wide alley described as follows, a 20-foot wide alley in the plat of and as described. Any public comments?
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with Paul.
I'm good. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Thank you, Paul. And up next, we have RJ.
I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have Scott with the chamber.
I'm all set, Bridget. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. And up next, we have Sherry Nelson.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have Zach Mastin.
Pass.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 0409.
Pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 0440.
Pass.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 1136. And up next, we have caller 3029.
Pass. Thanks, Bridget.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 9536.
No comment. No comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 3499.
All set.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 1021. And up next, we have caller 3119. Up next, we have caller 7079. Up next, we have caller 2336.
No comment.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 4103. Caller 4103, did you have any comments?
Sorry, Bridget. Sharon Lang, no comment.
Thank you, Sharon. Up next, we have caller 1572.
Thank you, Bridget. No comment.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 7299.
No comment. Thank you.
you. Up next, we have caller 3725.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 2004.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 2122.
Pass.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 2342. Up next, we have caller 3378.
No comment.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 6027.
Pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 7621.
Connie Rieger, no comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Up next, we have caller 7653.
Pass.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 9103.
Pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 9252.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was all of the public participants we had.
All right. Thank you, Bridget. We will close the public hearing. I will open this up for comments from council. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve. This is Diane.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilwoman Rabb, seconded by Councilwoman Johnston, to approve the request from Dawn Rio to vacate a 20-foot wide alley described as follows. Bridget, would you please call roll?
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
Potashnik?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes. All right, we'll move on to the public hearing for 9C. This is the Enabling Act for consideration to adopt an ordinance to amend the code of the city of Sheboygan by adding chapter 122, recreational marijuana facilities, to authorize and regulate the establishment of recreational marijuana facilities pursuant to the Michigan Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act, MCL 333.27951, and rescind ordinance 100, article 9. And this is now open for public comments.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get started with Paul Stino.
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Up next, we have RJ Rochambeau.
Hi, thanks, Bridget. I'll just say that I personally support the council in passing this amendment. I have advocated in the cannabis industry across the United States since 2012 and have been employed full-time in this industry since 2015. And when I started there were only two states that had adult use cannabis regulations. And in that 8 years, there are now 11 states plus Washington, D.C. that regulate cannabis for adult use. Imagine all the municipalities that are getting that tax revenue and benefit. And I've actually walked by state-of-the-art schools that have been funded with 100% marijuana tax revenue. So I support my hometown in passing this. And frankly, from those travels, I've learned that this legalization is coming either way, but it's not coming in the scary form that you think it might. It's coming in the form of your neighbor with a smile on their face, with an entrepreneurial spirit, wanting to uplift the same community that you live in. So I support the council in passing this personally and professionally. Thank you.
Thank you, RJ. Up next, we have Scott with the chamber.
Good evening, thanks. Chamber of Commerce is just here this evening in a monitoring and observing role. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott. Up next, we have Sherry Nelson.
Thank you, Bridget. I have no comment.
Thank you, Sherry. Up next, we have Zach Mastin.
No comment yet. Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 0409.
Thank you, Bridget. This is John Stripmatter. I just wanted to thank City Council and City Leadership for taking this issue up tonight. I think it will be very beneficial to the community with the tax dollars that it brings in, with the amount of money that it brings in for improving properties in the community, and for also satisfying the need of the community. I strongly support this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 0440.
Yes, this is Matt LaHaye. Also want to voice my opinion in support of this and recognize City Council's hard work at this. This is the adoption to where the city will actually make money and be able to help its community out with passing and having the recreational use in this. It's important for Sheboygan. You have the medical side of it done. This is the mechanism where the city makes the money on it. And it's money that the community does need. There's many ways, and it's time for the city council to be able to move forward through this process. And then future meetings will be about how to utilize the funds that have been garnered in this process. So I hope you guys all get this passed tonight and we move on. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 1136.
Trudy Lofgren, pass, please. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 3029. Caller 3029, if you have any comments for council, you can unmute yourself by dialing *6.
I don't have any comments. Thanks, Bridget. Sorry.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 9536.
You are unmuted.
This is David Hubbard, and I feel that we've got the six medical, and that's more than enough. If you want it, well, first of all, I don't think any of them should be downtown. There's a lot of vacant properties outside of town where they could be. And if you wanted one recreational, that's fine. But to have six, no, I don't think that's necessary. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 3499.
I'm going to
put his back up now. All set. Thank you. And up next, we have caller 1021.
Thanks, Bridget. I've got two questions. Can you tell me why there is obvious pressure on the Sheboygan City Council to vote on two proposed recreational marijuana ordinances this evening, when in fact the licensed medical marijuana facilities already granted a permit aren't built yet, and there are questions as to whether local community businesses, the DDA, Chamber of Commerce, law enforcement, and religious and education leaders have had sufficient opportunity for input, notwithstanding the fact that a new mayor and council will also be sworn in shortly. And then I have another question also, and to your knowledge, can you tell me if anyone associated with a city council member, mayor, city manager, or contractor ever promised either implied or expressed that any medical marijuana license holder would be granted a recreational marijuana permit? Thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 3119.
Mike Grisdale, no comment.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 7079.
Thank you. This is Luke LaHaye. I support the council in passing this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 2336.
I just wanted to say I support the council.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 4103.
Thanks, Bridget. This is Sharon Lang. Just as a daily downtown business person going in, observation, reminding that consistently we've support legalization. We've always had questions regarding process, density, and location. So observing now that we're getting started, the difference in quality and effort that I'm seeing into the rehabilitation of these facilities, watching the degree to which we see stewards of property, there's a vast difference anywhere from sort of a quick rough paint job and one or two windows being replaced to a complete tear down and brand new aggressive construction to frankly some that seem to be doing nothing at all, just withholding that investment. That great big investment that we listened to council talk about in the hundreds of thousands of dollars when we were working on the ordinance and so afraid they were going to sue the city because of these hundreds of thousands of dollars as we were working through the medical permitting process that these folks were investing. And it's seeming now as though those hundreds of thousands of dollars are being held hostage in some properties, not all, based on your decision tonight. And so with that being the case, I'm just really hoping to be heard and urge councilmen and women tonight to exercise just a little bit of caution that maybe is warranted here, and some conservative steps forward in allocating these licenses based on the efforts. So now we're seeing some of these people in action and we have a better sense of who they are. You don't have to slap all six of your medical out automatically to recreational and watch them fight for market share. That's, I think, a disturbing way to conduct business, to say that some will survive and some will die, to be able to leverage them to upgrade buildings, knowing that the market won't sustain six in a short, such a short radius or such a small radius. So again, just recognizing the folks that actually are coming to the table and providing some actual results in our investing in our community before you make your decision tonight, those that are sitting on the fence waiting for the grab. And if you don't satisfy them, I don't think there's any guarantee they'll stay. And recognizing that you do have the power to grant just a couple of those who maybe have earned them or showing that they earned them, rather than just dole them out like chiclets. So thanks so much, everyone. Good night.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 1572.
Good evening. This is Dan Harris again. In a couple comments, and I think Sharon was the last one to speak about promised investments coming into the community for this. I'm an attorney by trade, and I represent clients who have a location in Sheboygan, and I can attest to the fact that, you know, they have spent a lot of money rehabbing a building that really needed it. The building is going to look much better than what it did, and it's going to generate a lot more money for Sheboygan if the city council passes this ordinance tonight. And I don't know if everybody on the call understands. I know that city council does, but the only way that the city actually benefits from the cannabis industry is if they are recreational, because that's the only way that they actually get a percentage of the money as tax dollars that come in. I would say that it's been a pleasure for my clients to work with the city. I know that the city has spent a lot of time and effort and consideration in rolling this out to do it appropriately and to make sure that it's good for the community. And my clients look forward to working with the community and seeing the benefits of the business go to the community. And they're excited about it. And so, you know, we really hope that the council passes this tonight. They have put a lot of time, effort, and money into it, and it will be a boost. And, you know, to operate a medical in Sheboygan right now with recreational in the surrounding areas, including Petoskey and Mackinac City and Roger City, it isn't going to work. So for the people who did invest money there and want to grow their business and have a good business that benefits the community, this is very important for them. So we hope that you understand that, and they look forward to continuing to be a good partner with you. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 7299.
Yes, my name is Nathan Bertine, and I would like to just say I support the city council and support the adult use in Sheboygan being passed tonight, if possible. I believe all the businesses would ultimately benefit on Main Street, just given the fact that there's so much recreational activities in Sheboygan that will drive tourism, vacationing, additional outdoor recreational areas out there. It's just really important that the recreational aspect of the new emerging marijuana business, that they are able to sell to both medical at a very stringent testing.
Thank you.
compliance, regulatory affairs that goes into that aspect, and also the recreational that you'll be able to, supply the rest of the population that is able to purchase this product as well. So with that being said, I do support this. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 3725.
This is Chico. Testing adults. That would help the city. And I'd also like to just take this time to appreciate the businesses that have already started to invest money into the buildings in town. And I'd like to see this continue. Thank you so much.
I apologize. Caller 3725. I'm not sure if anybody else caught the first part of your comment, but you were cutting out a little bit. If you could introduce yourself and maybe reiterate your comment.
Sure thing. This is Jeannie Phillips. And I just wanted to call and show my support to the council in passing adult use recreational marijuana in Sheboygan. And I wanted to point out the tax revenue that it would bring to the city. And I'd just like to take this time to appreciate the businesses that are already starting to invest money in the buildings in town. And I really look forward to seeing it continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Up next, we have caller 2004.
This is Xander Keysweater. First of all, I wanted to just say thank you to the council for just taking hard time and doing their homework, learning about this topic. I know there's a lot of, it's a controversial topic and a lot of pressure from both sides to figure out the right answer. But I will say I am currently in the business. And it's extremely challenging for medical companies to survive in an area where there is recreational around. So like, I know there's a company called Loom that is in Petoskey and Mackinac City that is currently delivering recreational cannabis throughout northern Michigan. So I think that, it'd be very challenging for just medical shops to grow their business and, prosper. But I will say I am for it, and thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 2122.
Yes, this is Bud Darnell calling. I'm a little concerned about the reputation that our city is getting. It's not that we're allowing recreational cannabis, but the idea of we're flooding the area with it. And if I had a legitimate business on Main Street, I'd feel a little funny if the pot shop was next door. I just am saying, hope you can consider that this is more than just a tax issue for the city. It has to do with the reputation of the city from all of us that live in the surrounding area. Are we going to go to dinner in downtown Sheboygan? Are we going to go to Indian River? There are lots of choices that people are going to make, and if you go overboard, I'm concerned there may be a problem here. So thank you.
Thank you. Up next, we have caller 2342.
Mary Hebert, I look forward to the response to some of the concerns that have been raised by previous respondents. And so I'm withholding my total approval pending the responses from council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Up next, we have caller 3378.
My comment is, how did you arrive at the number of 6 licenses? And why do they have to be in the downtown area? Why can't they be outside the business district, not on Main Street, like up towards Walmart and out towards Kmart, where they're not right downtown? And I think Mr. Darnell summed it up perfectly in his comments. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Could you please introduce yourself by your first and last name for the record?
My name's Les Tebow. I have no problem with the businesses being in town. It's just locations where they're at in the downtown area, and the number of licenses. I think should start out small and then see how it goes, and then if warrant, increase the licenses. But starting out with six right away, I think is a little much.
Thank you, Les. Up next, we have caller 6027.
Pass, thank you.
Thank you, and up next, we have caller 7621.
Hi, Bridget, it's Connie Rieger, and at this point, I have no comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Up next, we have caller 7653.
Okay, Lewis Balance again. I'm totally opposed to this. Marijuana stuff. I've seen what it's done to the families in this town. I've also think it's the wrong, thing to put our city's priorities on when there are about five or six properties in this town that are contaminated that need to be cleaned up. You have people that need on the east side of town that needs city services, and needs to say this is like the others said, this was going to give the city of Sheboygan a bad reputation as a pot town, and Sheboygan's better than this, and whoever's writing these this regulation up needs to learn spell check. It is Marijuana, not Marhuana. So anyway, I'm totally opposed to this. This is not where we need to be in the city of Sheboygan. There are other things that need to be done, like the weeds issue on, the banks, where we have weeds issue in ditches and weeds issue in the southern and eastern drains that need to be done. There's a disparity there. So priorities need to be really need to be taken, into account here. Marijuana is a gateway drug, and I do not think that the city's public health officer, the mayor, would go along with this. So, we at the east side of town do not want this around us at all. And you also got to look at the hazardous waste that comes out of the marijuana production. That what's going to happen with our sanitary system. There's a lot that needs to be addressed, and this is a resounding no on my part and no from my family's part. I'm done. Bye.
Thank you, Lewis. Up next, we have caller 9103.
Hi, Bridget. Thanks so much. My name is Greg Klinger. I'm going to reiterate, I think, a lot of the positive comments made by folks who have preceded me. Real quickly, though, I hope to share a relevant perspective. I work for Redbud Roots, a vertically integrated cannabis company from Buchanan, Michigan, and we opened the first medical PC in Grand Traverse County in January this year. Since that time, 9 other medical PCs and 3 adult use facilities have opened, you know, in about a 20-mile radius, I guess. And it's been an interesting study on the contrast between med and rec dispensaries. One thing is abundantly clear. In order to remain viable, a provisioning center must be able to serve medical patients and adult use customers, both. After the state legalized adult use, many medical patients allowed their credentials to expire, as has been the case in other states that have allowed adult use. Since recreational sales began in Michigan, the state has lost more than 20,000, excuse me, or 8% of registered medical cardholders and 3,000, about 9% of registered caregivers. There's a very common misconception that after January 1st, anyone over the age of 21 has access to licensed cannabis products anywhere they're sold in Michigan, which obviously is not correct. In Acme, at our PC, 3 of every 4 cars that drive into our parking lot for the first time are non-card holders looking to shop. And probably 8 out of every 10 phone calls are from people asking if they can shop with us without a medical card. It's difficult to turn these people away. As we look at other states who allow recreational sales, med-only facilities lose about 60% of their customer base, as I said a couple weeks ago, I think. And honestly, simply because a dispensary is able to sell to adults 21 and over, it doesn't mean that they're going to lose their medical focus. In fact, it makes it possible to better serve the medical community by not only allowing those with expired medical credentials to continue making purchases, but to allow others who never attempted to have a medical card to pursue therapeutic options for certain conditions which may not qualify under the current set of regulations. We've talked about the benefits of the city of Sheboygan. Real quickly, just a number. We opened our 2nd PC in Muskegon a few months ago. In the first month as a rec dispensary, we collected over $66,000 in sales and recreational excise taxes, more than 10 times what we collected in the same period in Acme. You know, at the end of September, state budget officials project $390 million in rec sales. By the end of 2021, the state's expectation is to exceed $1.5 billion in recreational sales. And I get it, it's not all about money, but, you know, a woman, Robin Schneider, executive director of the Michigan Cannabis Association, you know, points out that the recreational industry, once fully implemented, will have significant impact on Michigan's economy, with hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue flowing into state and local governments. We've already begun to see waves of hiring by cannabis businesses looking to fill good-paying jobs, which will have a major impact on communities as these workers have money to spend on goods and services at their local small businesses. So, you know, as Ms. Lang's probably correctly pointed out, some of these license holders may not move forward with their projects without an AU ordinance. Maybe that's not the end of the world, but most importantly, we need the jobs referenced by Ms. Snyder. Good jobs with above average wages and benefits. An adult use provisioning center is likely to need up to 15 full-time staff members, twice what a med shop would need. A commercial cultivation facility, at least 20 to 25 each. So anyway, I want to thank you very much for all the work you've done on this and for giving me an opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And up next, we have caller 9252.
No comment. Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you. And that was all of the public participants we had, Mayor. Mayor, that was all the public participants we had.
Sorry, my computer went to mute. I'm closing the public hearing and I will entertain comments from council.
I would just like to comment, Mayor, for the folks that were in opposition who felt like it was a bad move for the city, that that we're really looking at the economic impacts. And with some of our medical marijuana permits that have already been issued, you can already see progress that those businesses are making. And with new and renovated buildings, the increased tax revenue just from property taxes. Plus, I'm not sure if it was made explicitly clear that we can only capture tax revenue from recreational marijuana sales and not medical marijuana sales. So we're looking for that revenue as well. And that really council's considering this as a positive move for our city, or at least I am. I guess I can't speak for everybody, but we're looking for the economic gains that this can bring us. I do agree with Sharon Lang's point that some of the business owners and property owners are making more progress than others. And I do know that we have provisions in our ordinances that give our zoning administrator the authority to revoke a permit at the annual renewal if means to open a business have not been achieved. So I'm hoping that that will keep us from giving permits to folks who are not actually going to be making improvements. But overall, I think that we're looking to really revitalize our city by moving forward with this. I think that's our main goal. Thank you.
Councilwoman Potashnick, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I just want to follow up with what Sarah just said. I think she made some excellent points, and I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm with her on this. I say let's keep the ball rolling for all these groups.
Councilwoman Rabb, did you have something to add?
Yes, I also think that Sarah captured my feelings very well, and I do hear people like Bud Darnell and Sharon Lang's concerns about just automatically granting recreational permits to those that already hold the medical permit. My concern with all of this, it seemed in listening to so many people and the whole process of the council moving on this, we took so long and were so careful and diligent about trying to come up with the right decision and the right ordinance language. And then it suddenly seemed like we were just getting used to the idea of medical, and then recreational was thrown in the mix. And I do realize from an economic standpoint, the money that the city makes from recreational goes toward law enforcement and education and a lot of other city operations that frankly Sheboygan needs desperately. But I also understand Bud's comment about not wanting to be known as the, you know, the pot city of the north, because so many of these businesses are in a very concentrated area. Why we didn't go outside of the city, I can't recall at this point, but I hear what other people said about that, and sometimes question myself if we made the right decision keeping it so localized. But I do think Sarah said it best, and I would go along with that as well.
I just have a couple comments to address Diane's question about outside of the city. We have no jurisdiction to put marijuana places outside the city limits. That would be up to the townships to make their own rules for that. The other thing, I wanted to clarify that marijuana with an H is the official state spelling, and that's the way it appears in the state law that was voted on by the citizens. Also, I wanted to remind people that in 2018, when this was voted on in the city of Sheboygan, there was overwhelming support of recreational marijuana. It was about 66% were in favor. I'll close my comments there. Any other council members wish to comment at this time?
Mayor, this is Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar. I'll just voice my support to move forward with these. I guess my thought process behind this was most of the due diligence and the difficult decision making came with creating the original ordinances for the medical to as far as where and how many provision centers would be allowed was, I know, a lot of people's concerns. We've addressed that. We've crossed that bridge, so to speak. I think that this is the logical move for the success of the current licensed medical marijuana facilities in Sheboygan. This is the next step for them to be successful. I think as a city, we since I've been involved, we've always tried to make decisions so that local downtown or any other businesses in Sheboygan in the city limits could succeed. And that's just the way I see. So I'm in support of that.
All right. Any other comments from council?
Yeah, I'll just ring in a little bit. There's been a lot of things other council members have said, a lot of positives. I don't necessarily personally support marijuana. I've never used it. I probably never will, but I believe people should have the choice. I think there's enough regulations through the state and through us working through the ordinances that we have it worked out. And I think it's the right choice because of that. Thanks.
All right. Anyone else? If not, I will entertain a motion.
I will move to adopt the ordinance to amend the Code of City of Sheboygan by adding Chapter 122, Recreational Marijuana Facilities, to authorize and regulate the establishment of recreational marijuana facilities pursuant to the Michigan Regulation and Taxation of Marijuana Act, MCL 333.27951, and rescind Ordinance 100. Article 9.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, seconded by Councilman Johnston to adopt the ordinance. Bridget, it doesn't say roll call on here, but I'm assuming that we need to do that.
Yes, we should definitely do a roll call on this.
Okay, please call roll.
Temple? Temple? Kuchar?
Yes.
Rab?
Yes.
Potashnik?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
All right. We will move on to the public hearing for 7D, consideration to adopt an ordinance to amend the code of the city of Sheboygan by amending Title 15, Chapter 154, Article 2, Definitions, Article 4, District Regulations, Article 7, Specific Use Standards, Article 13, Nonconforming Lots, Uses, and Structures to allow recreational marijuana facilities. And I will open it up for public comments.
Thank you. And we'll go ahead and get started with Paul Stino.
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have RJ Rochambeau.
Thank you. I support passing the zoning ordinance as well.
Thank you, RJ. And up next, we have Scott.
Nothing at this time, Bridget. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Scott. Up next, we have Sherry Nelson.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Up next, we have Zach Mastin.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. Up next, we have caller 0409.
John Stripmatter, I support the zoning. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 0440.
Yes, it's Matt LaHaye. Support the zoning.
Thank you, Matt. Up next, we have caller 1136.
This is Trudy Lofgren, and can anybody explain all these different titles and chapters and stuff?
Is it
zoning? Mayor, did you want to address that now, or did you want to wait until after all the public comments?
Trudy, these are just addressing all the parts in the zoning ordinance that have to be, that will be affected. And there's...
But how can anybody comment if you don't know what you're commenting on? It's just a bunch of numbers.
Well, this has been... Yeah, well, it's been published and people could look up the zoning ordinance and drill down.
Okay, I'll just do a no comment then. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 3499. Caller 3499, if you have any comments for council, you can unmute yourself by dialing star 6. And up next, we have caller 2004.
I'm on board.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 3119.
Mike Grisdale, no comment.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 2336. Caller 2336, if you have any comments for council, you can unmute yourself by dialing star 6. And up next, we have caller 4103. Caller 4103, if you have any comments for council, you can unmute yourself by dialing star 6.
Thanks, Bridget. Sharon Lang. Just wanted to touch base and thank Mr. Klinger, too. I always appreciate thoughtful comments from people who are sort of in the trenches, and I appreciate his view bringing some statistics and some impact commentary to the overall, I guess, equation. Again, just sort of switching hats from an economic development and CEG standpoint, the automatic approval of all six people being granted the jump from medical to recreational, again, urging just to err on the side of caution. You know, it's very clear, and I recognize those of you who are making a vested effort and you're on the call tonight, right? But there also are there's very clearly a couple that are absent who have got that first gateway ticket into the money grab and the expansion who aren't present. And so I'm hoping that as we progress and continue on this road, that we put under a microscope those who maybe aren't as diligent as others and continue to err on the side of caution for our community. And to Bronson's point about the 66% in support, it's very rare that I hear in these meetings a lot of opposition to the actual legalization. It seems to be more so not that 66% voted in favor for. It's we're discussing if, right? It's not the if, it's the where, and it's how many. So I just would like for that to be pointed out, that a lot of those of us who are continuing to have and engage in the conversation aren't arguing legalization versus not. It's just having the conversation as vested interested parties who have skin in the game, who live here, who love it here, who want to continue here to be a part of the conversation on where these go and how many there are and who those people are, where they are. And I'm seeing some people emerge that are going to be great, maybe business partners downtown, and that's fantastic. And I'm seeing some others who maybe I'm looking forward to being called out in the process. But anyway, thanks so much, everyone. Good night.
Thank you, Sharon. And up next, we have caller 1572.
Thank you, Bridget. Dan Harris here, and I support it as well, and also appreciate Sharon's comments and concerns. And obviously, there's concerns about numbers and everything, but we're, you know, relying on the council's good judgment. And I think they've exercised it through the entire thing. And we're optimistic that this is going to work out for everybody. So thank you again. Good night.
Thank you, Dan. And up next, we have caller 7299.
Hi, this is Nathan Burkeen. I do support the ordinance rezoning. So that's all I have to say. I support you. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 2122.
Pass.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 2342.
Mary Hebert. I'm Mary Hebert. I do hope that we are looking forward to how we're going to prioritize the satisfying some of the needs in the community that we will be able to satisfy, hopefully, by new revenue. And I hope that that really has a lot of thoughtful conversation amongst council and amongst the community, so that we can begin to realize some of the promised benefits. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And up next, we have caller 3378.
I just would just caution the council, the number of licenses and the location is all. Thank you.
Thank you, Les. And up next, we have caller 6027.
Pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 7621.
Hi, Bridget. It's Connie Rieger, and at this time I have no comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Connie. Up next, we have caller 7653.
This is Louis Valens again. Reason why I'm coming this time is, you know, you have people saying, you know, that there are having people are investing in this right now before everything gets done. I think that's putting the cart before the horse. If you know, you shouldn't be doing any investing into these properties until you know that you're gonna have it. But anyway, I'm still in opposition of it wholeheartedly. So my comment is done. Bye.
Thank you, Louis. And up next we have caller 9252.
No comment. Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you. And Mayor, that was all of the public participants we had tonight.
All right. Thank you, Bridget. We will close the public hearing or the public portion of this public hearing. I will now open this up for council comments. Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
I do have one question, Mayor. This is Councilwoman Johnston. There was mention of medical marijuana permit holders automatically getting a recreational marijuana permit. My understanding was that they would be given first choice, but not that it would be automatic. Can we get some clarification on that?
That's true. They would not have to, it's a separate purchase for the rec license. They wouldn't necessarily have to purchase a rec license if they didn't want to.
Councilwoman Rabb, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, Mayor Branson, I just wanted to clarify that there was a question that implied that the people that were planning to bring in provisioning, you know, apply for provisioning center permits and the building that some of those folks have already started, it was suggested that the city promised them unofficially that they would receive both permits. And I just want to clarify that to my knowledge and my understanding in this whole process, that is not the case.
I would agree. I don't think anybody was promised anything other than having a discussion. Would anybody make a motion?
Yes, Mayor, I will move to adopt the ordinance as outlined in item 7D to amend the city code for the zoning.
I'll second.
Thank you both. Motion by Councilman Johnston, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar to adopt an ordinance to amend the code. Bridget, would you please call roll?
Kuchar?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
Potajnik?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple? Temple?
Yes.
All right, thank you, Bridget. We'll move on to item 8, department boards and commissions. And the statistics from the chief, are there any questions about that?
Mayor, if I could interrupt, we had amended the agenda to add an item.
That was 9B. I don't think we're there yet.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Yep. All right. We'll move on to 9A. This is a consideration to rezone the following property at the corner of Lafayette Avenue and Lincoln Avenue, owned by Sheboygan Cement Products, from current listing of R1, one family residential, to L1, light industrial. And then we have a description of the parcel number. So that piece of property they're asking to change from one family residential to light industrial. Any comments from council? Tom, can you add anything?
Yes, I just want to say that this property is adjacent to the current Sheboygan Cement Products. It is separated by a road, but it's considered adjacent to their current business, which is zoned light industrial. So they're requesting to rezone it from residential single family to light industrial to expand their business. And again, this is an adjacent parcel, so it's not spot zoning. It's just going to add to their current operation.
And also, Tom, the Planning Commission looked at this also, didn't they?
They did. A public hearing was held at the Planning Commission level. Anytime you request rezoning, the public hearing is held at the Planning Commission level. And there was some public comment that they addressed. And then they made a motion that was unanimous to recommend rezoning of the property.
All right. Thank you. Any comments from council? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved. This is Diane.
Second.
A motion by Councilman Rabb, seconded by Councilman Mallory to rezone the property. Bridget, would you call roll, please?
Rabb?
Yes.
Potashnik?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
All right, and now we'll move on to 9B. This is, we need to amend a matching grant from $300,000 to $308,000. Tom, I'll let you go ahead and describe that again, please.
Yes, we have a grant from the Great Lakes Fisheries Trust for $308,000 that we're going to use for a match with the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund. So we have an application pending with the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund. We passed a resolution on March 10th, 2002 to make that application, but there was an error in the amount of monies that we received from the Great Lakes Fisheries Trust. In the resolution, it said $300,000. We're actually getting $308,000. So I need a motion to pass a resolution. The language is the same as the resolution that was passed on March 10th, 2020. Other than the figure, which is we're going to amend from $300,000 to $308,000. So the resolution is that it'll now be therefore resolved that the city of Sheboygan hereby authorizes submission of a Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund application and we're asking for $300,000 from the DNR. And it further resolves to make available a local match through financial commitment and donations of $308,000, which is 51% of the total project of $608,000, which will be distributed during the 2021-22 fiscal year.
So moved.
Second.
I didn't catch who was the second.
Diane.
Thank you. Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kuchar, seconded by Councilman Rabb to amend the amount in the resolution. Do you need a roll call on this, Bridget?
Yeah, let's take a roll call. Potashnik?
All right.
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Bronson?
Yes.
Mallory?
Yes.
Temple?
Yes.
Kuchar?
Yes.
Rabb?
Yes.
We'll move on to city clerks and treasurer's comments.
I do have a few things that I'd like to report tonight. First of all, I applied for a grant a few weeks back to purchase additional election equipment so we could potentially set up an absentee counting board for the November election. We were approved for $5,000 through the Center for Tech and Civic Life. The total cost of a new tabulator and ballot box is about $5,900, so it'll cover a majority of that expense. Unfortunately, we will not have the equipment in time for the November election, but we will have it moving forward into other elections. So we're looking at some alternatives, but likely we will not end up with an absentee counting board for the November election. And there was another grant that I had applied for back in July. This was a public safety and public health payroll reimbursement program, and it was funded through the CARES Act. We were eligible to apply for all of our April and May payroll expenses for our police department. So we submitted a grant application just over $144,000. And this week we received funds in the amount of 72. So they covered about half of that, which we expected just based on the number of applicants that we wouldn't get fully funded, but that certainly does help. And the last item that I wanted to address tonight is that I believe at the last meeting I reported that we had two write-in candidates for our partial council seat. We did have one of our candidates withdraw due to a conflict of interest. So at this time, we have one write-in candidate for that partial seat.
All right, thank you, Bridget. City manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor. I mentioned earlier that the intersection of Lincoln and Main Street will be done on October 1st or 2nd, depending on the weather. Again, that's something we've been working on for several years. And also Mackinac Avenue, we will try to get that completed this year yet. And we're fortunate that MDOT stepped up that because they're also going to do 23 from Duncan Avenue to the city limits in the city and beyond outside the city next spring. Which is going to be a much bigger project because they're going to, the road base needs to be improved before they repave. That's not the case with Mackinac Avenue. They're just going to do a mill and grind and resurface. And it probably will be about a 2-week project on Mackinac Avenue. US 23 on the east side will be a much longer project next spring. That might be 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks, they're saying at least that, because of the extent of the construction. And in both cases, we're trying to get sidewalk in on Mackinac Avenue, at least from the Little Black River Bridge to Johnson's Motel. There is some sidewalk on that side, but there's a lot of people that walk on the streets from Mackinac Avenue apartments towards town, and they walk in the road. There's no sidewalk there, so there's a lot of people that live there. So that's a plus. If they're going to put sidewalk in there, that's going to keep people off the street, off the road. We still are working on the police contract. We had a meeting scheduled for tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, but it got changed to October 15th. So hopefully we can finalize that contract. Again, we can, I think we can do it in just one meeting. But Phil Nance and had canceled the September 23rd meeting. So we're trying to finalize that contract for the police. And I think that's all I have for tonight, Mayor. I think we answered some questions early on in public comments.
All right. Very good. Any committee updates? I'm not sure.
Question or comment?
Mayor Bronson, this is Diane Rabb. I'm just commenting on the Historic Resources Commission, as you know, has been deactivated because they don't have enough members currently to form a quorum. And so I would just like to say to all people out there that are listening, if anyone is interested in participating in this commission, applications are available at City Hall. Please feel free to go in and apply, and then I believe the mayor reviews those applications so that we can resurrect what I feel is a very important commission. And we're kind of reformulating and getting back down to what it was originally intended. So I'm eager to get that going as we go forward with either a new council or a new mayor. And the 911 committee met. And they basically, it was a long meeting going over budget issues, and they haven't finalized that yet. But Sheboygan is back on track with being involved with the Sheboygan, Charlevoix, Emmett County 911 program, which has been extremely busy during the whole COVID crisis. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Diane. The Rec Commission, did they have their meeting yet?
Yes, Mayor, we did meet last Wednesday. And because it had been such a long time since our last meeting, we did have a lot of sort of catch up discussion to figure out where all of our projects are that we've been working on. And of course, COVID has delayed a few things, but I think we're gonna get back on track now.
Very good. And you had your new members also?
Yes. Yep. We have two new members on that committee, Tony Eustace and Dale Rieger.
All right. Thank you. And Tom, I don't think any other committees met, did they?
No, other than we have an ordinance committee where we've been looking at rental registration ordinances. We actually have had 16 drafts over the last year, but Monday night we finalized it. We think we have the last draft of that rental registration ordinance. City Attorney Stephen Lindsay has finalized some of the edits for that ordinance. There's also an application, and we should be able to have that for a public hearing in October, likely the second meeting in October, which is October 27. We will hold a public hearing at a regularly scheduled council meeting to look at adopting that ordinance.
All right. Thank you. I'll move on to messages and communications from mayor and council members. And I'll start with Sarah, please.
I don't have any other comments tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Diane?
Well, you know, I always have a comment. I would really like to thank everybody that came on the phone tonight and attended by way of teleconferencing on the ordinances that everyone holds very near and dear to their hearts and coming at it from different places. I appreciate all of your input, and I hope that you realize that I believe the council has worked very, very diligently trying to do the best looking for what's right and good for the city. It's not going to please everybody. It will please some, and I hope that our decision proves fruitful in the months and years to come. I want to say one other thing, and if Trudy's still on the line, about the MDOT yield signs for crosswalk for pedestrians. I've looked up on the MDOT site about that, and it's some of it is very, very ambiguous, and I know Tom and I have talked about that, but I think that the main thing is, even though it's a main highway, and we do have the piano key, what they call the piano keys markings, and we do have two signs prior to announcing that that is a pedestrian crosswalk, I think what people are looking for is possibly the cones that you can purchase and put down that actually says yield to pedestrians that are already in the crosswalk, because it's state law. And that's where the MDOT stuff becomes very ambiguous. But I think if we kind of keep at it in a very, not obnoxious way, but be persistent about it, that we will be able to do that. And I think it would be something good for the city, for all pedestrians, especially since we're trying to bring more and more people down into the downtown area. We want them to be safe. That's it.
Thank you, Diane. I would add, I saw in Lake City on the highway there, they did have those cones on the highway. So there must be something, or maybe the town just went ahead and did it anyway. But I think it's worth pursuing.
Yes, I do too. Thank you.
Nick,
can we get an update? Can we request that we get an actual answer from staff at the next meeting from what MDOT says?
Yes. And Tom, you made note of that?
Yep. So noted. Chief's okay. Here with me too. Yep. We will check on that. Get a definite answer.
All right. Nick, did you have anything else?
Yeah, I do actually. I asked the last meeting in council comments, and I know that Councilwoman Johnson has asked in the past that the staff report on what we do for our insurance. I would say both property casualty and our health insurance packages. I know that's something that is probably should be bid out, or at least looked for other options. I know we've looked at it in the past. I didn't hear either Tom or Bridget comment on that this evening. So if either one of them wants to speak on what, if they've looked into it, or what our plans are with that, that would be great.
Well, I could add that Tom and I have talked about that. I don't think we have any answer yet, but it's been discussed.
Okay. I mean, I think it's pretty simple. I think it's we send out RFPs for that. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, go ahead,
Tom.
Yeah, well, Bridget and I have had some conversation. Go ahead, Mayor, if you guys make your comment.
Oh, I was just saying that. With health insurance, I would be very cautious with just doing an RFP. It would have to be a pretty exacting RFP to make sure that we're matching apples to apples. That's my only comment.
And that's what you put in an RFP, is that it's public knowledge and that we can show what we have, what our current package is. Insurance agent is going to want to see that and want to see what we have, so that you can get, I guess you'd call it an apples to apples quote. But sometimes you find, especially in property casualty, that your apples to apples isn't the right way of terminology to use, because people are looking at what things have changed. A lot of things could have changed, and the needs may be different than when they originally wrote that. I'm not saying that's the case. It's just something that I think is, I'm no longer in that business. So it's something that it should be looked at.
Yep, I would agree. Okay, Tom, you had a comment?
Yeah, and Bridget and I have looked at that, and typically when that, every year when that comes around, we don't always send out requests for proposals, but we do talk to other agencies to see if we can get a better price. And it's, but it's really difficult unless you put a detailed request for proposals out. We did have a firm that gave us a quote that was less than what our current provider provides, but the deductibles were different. It wasn't really apples to apples, and it wasn't enough of a reduction to change carriers. So yeah, it can be very difficult their service that is being provided currently from our carrier has been outstanding. We had $1 million loss in our waste treatment plant 2 years ago. And we really, most all of it was covered. And it was a very detailed insurance claim.
Okay, so I'm also very happy that when it comes to loyalty to an insurance company, when it comes to that, that's a perfect report that you could add somewhere in your annual once a year when that contract comes up, mm-hmm. you or the treasurer, that's what you should report to the council. Hey, we've looked at this. This is what's going on with that. And then you move past it.
Okay.
It's just something that that's something that should come from staff to the council when it comes to that kind of dollars that are getting spent every year, every single week or meeting that we approve these budgets.
Sure.
That's what's something that should be brought up. I'm totally okay with the staff handling it. None of us want to get involved with who the best insurance company is or any other. That's the staff's decision, but we don't know that you're even looking at it.
Okay. Yep. That's fair. That's fair, Nick. I agree that we should inform you. That's a good point.
The next comment I just want to make is we got an email today with some resumes for the assistant city manager position. That
yes,
we kind of had a conversation, and I believe it was a September 1st deadline for resumes to get in is where it started, and then you may have extended that to the 15th or something like that.
Right? I did to the 12th. I extended to the 12th. Yes.
Okay. I mean, and that's understand whatever your reasoning behind that is, it's fine. We were originally talking in some of our meetings, which we don't get informed on this stuff also. So that's the first I've seen of these resumes, other than from somebody from the COG group actually was got me through some of those, but that's not all the resumes.
Sure.
So what's your plan on looking at, I mean, nothing was mentioned tonight about what your plan is on moving forward with those resumes. Do you have a team together to review those? Do you have them narrowed down? Do you want the council to narrow those down? It's going to be tough to hire someone for a November 1st deadline when the council just sees resumes and mm-hmm. nothing has been talked about. Our next city council meeting, I believe, is October 13th. That gives
it is.
2 weeks prior to what we wanted the hire date for that person to be. It's just it's frustrating to see that this has hit the stall button. And I don't know what the reasoning is behind it, and I don't know why, but some of these resumes that came from the COG group were from 2 months ago. Do you think that if they sent 10 resumes in, 10 people sent resumes, do you think any of those people have gotten jobs? I mean, we have to start over. This isn't a three-month process to send out RFPs for jobs. This is we're looking to hire someone, I thought.
Yeah, I think I think we're on track. We do have 17 resumes. One did get a job that was a potential candidate. I'm gonna, in the next week I'm gonna review them and decide who we should interview, and I'm gonna work with Casey Hucard and get his opinion on the resumes I got through the COG group. But I think we're on track. I mean, I feel comfortable with what's going on at this point, where we have a lot of things happening right now. And I think, you know, I think by in October we can do some interviews, and I don't know that we need a committee. And if you want to meet again with our organizational committee to review this, we can do that. My plan is to work with the staff, work with Bridget and our other administrators, Jason Carmel, and people that are going to be here after I leave, and get some input from the Chief Jones and the rest of the staff. But you know, I think we could meet as an organizational committee. That would probably help. But out of the 17 resumes, I haven't set out a number yet. You know, I like to pare it down to maybe 5 or 6 candidates, and then review those with the organizational committee to see who we need to interview.
I appreciate the report.
Anything else, Nick?
Nope, all set, thanks.
Thank you. Ashley?
Nothing else for me tonight.
Thank you. Vaughn?
Nothing.
Thank you, Vaughn. Brett?
I'm good.
Thank you. I have one comment tonight. Thank you, Bridget. That must have been an exhausting exercise tonight. And I appreciate the work you did.
Thank you, Mayor.
Howard. Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Diane.
Second.
I'll second.
All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all.